episode.
Yeah, sure. That's how we start it. We're already gone.
We're
baby.
Here. We're already gone. We're feral. We're feeling it. We just watched Josie and the Pussycats. Oh, so this is now a Josie movie. And the Pussycats podcast.
I used to love Rachel Lee Cook.
Why did you love Rachel Lee Cook specifically?
I just thought she was cute, I think, when I was a kid.
She's pretty cute. She's got that button nose. Yeah. You take off her glasses, you pull down her hair. She started that.
Yeah.
She's the OG.
She's the queen.
Take off her glasses, pull down her hair, and she's beautiful now. Liz, you're so beautiful. If the audience, Liz just took off their glasses and pulled down their invisible hair.
Yeah, and now I'm a whole new person.
You're so cute.
Now I'm a woman again.
Holy shit. That's how easy it is to transition. You just do it.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Desperate Housewives?
I guess. This is a very special episode because it's episode 20.
Episode 20.
We've done this for 22 weeks, technically.
Because we took off. Yeah.
2 weeks. But 20 episodes of this podcast.
And there's only 23 in season one.
Oh my god, we got three more.
We are so fucking close. I'm vibrating with excitement.
Oh, I'm sweating.
This is episode 20. And this episode... Oh, I forgot to ask you. Are you ready to dive into the SOTY?
I mean... I was, but then you've forgotten, so I'm a little self-conscious
okay.
now.
Here, put your glasses back on.
Okay, thanks. put your hair back up. Okay,
now you're ready. This episode premiered on May 1st, 2005. It was written by Adam Barr, and this is a new writer. Yeah. All the writers have been the same, and he most prominently wrote for Will and Grace.
Oh.
So go him. And it was directed by Jeff Melman. Our favorite Jeff Melman. And I wrote, before I watched the episode, because I write these before, I wrote, if someone flies in this episode, it's because it's Jeff Melman. And someone does fly.
Someone does? I don't remember. I just watched this episode,
into the
too.
Pool.
Oh, yes!
Only Jeff Melman could have done that.
Yes. Sorry for the slight spoiler
of later in the episode. And also, with Sondheim Watch, this episode is called Fear No More. And it's from a Stephen Sondheim musical called The Frogs, which I've never heard about.
Is it like Starlight Express and Cats?
I don't know. I think it's based off of like a Greek
Andrew
play?
Lloyd Webber wrote those. Never
yes,
mind.
Those are Andrew Lloyd Webber. It just sounds wild, but I did find out that in 1974, it was originally produced at Yale in a gymnasium pool, and Meryl Streep and Sigourney Weaver were both in the cast of it.
What?
In 1974.
What?
That has nothing to do with Desperate Housewives. I just thought it was cool.
That is only 5 years away from Alien.
So she was doing The Frogs at the Yale gymnasium pool.
5 years before Alien.
Yeah.
That's so fucking wild.
What a queen.
Meryl Streep. I don't think she's done anything.
Yeah. her career kind of fell flat after The Frogs in 1974.
Yeah, so we should probably just move on from that.
So I thought that was cool. But that's all I got. I'm ready to just talk about this episode.
Yeah.
I did write the previously on was a pretty good one because it brought back so many storylines, aka George and the birth control, which both are very prominent in this episode.
Yes, very much so. So we open up
on
Susan, a Mary Alice, I keep wanting to say overture.
I don't know why you do that.
That might just be what I say from now on.
You're a theater kid. You deserve
Unfortunately,
to be beat up.
I do deserve to be beat up. And it's basically like, since Susan was little, she wanted to be a mother, but in the worst way possible.
What does that even mean?
I do not know, and I'm scared. But basically, this whole narration is how much of a bad mom Susan is.
Yeah, she's a wreck of a mom, for
sure.
Yeah,
but it makes me feel kind of bad, because I'm like, stop, like, dunking on Susan. Like, this is the beginning of the episode. Mary Alice, what is wrong with
Mary
you?
Mary Alice is slamming that dunk right on Susan. Yeah, we see, like, Susan, like, leaving Julie in the house. I'm surprised we didn't get a Susan leaves Julie in a hot car on a summer's day.
I mean, she like left her, that might have been too much for the network, but she did like leave her in like the house.
Yeah, so she's like just kind of hijinks, but then in the end she realizes that even the best of parents make mistakes now and then.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Yeah,
which is true. I've never been a parent other than to my cats.
Yeah,
but I know that being a parent can be a stressful time for anyone. But it was a little, I was like, Susan's really bad.
Yeah.
But it cuts to now. And Julie's not a baby anymore.
No.
Jules is a teenager.
A teenager.
She's aging as a teen.
And basically, we open and we see Zach.
Little fucking incel fucking baby. He's back.
Creepazoid.
Creepazoid Zach is back. Zach and George both returning, kind of.
Yeah.
They're very similar characters to me in terms of like creepy boys.
And I feel like this episode did some cool stuff, not directly with them interacting, but there is like some cool, there's like one cool shot that I'm specifically thinking of and that I could talk about later.
I think I might know what you're talking about, but yeah, let's get into it later.
And basically we open and Zach is just being very annoying and he's throwing stones at Julie's door, or not door, window.
Yes.
And
he's inside at the in the hallway and he's just throwing fucking huge rocks at the door in the hallway. And Susan's like, how'd you get in the house, dude?
Yeah, and he's like, I don't ask me that.
I don't have three copies of your key made. Not at all.
But basically, Susan is like, what is he doing out there? And Julie kind of expresses that he's being very annoying lately. And so Susan opens the window to tell him to go, like, crap off. Mm-hmm. And Zach picks up a handful of pebbles and just chucks them all in Susan's face.
Yes. There's a bit of a comedy of errors because he doesn't exactly see Susan when he does that. But he still fucking just nails Susan with the biggest pile of gravel.
Yes.
And we pretty quickly cut to inside the house. And Zach
he's
is in there.
Inside? I would not let him inside.
But Julie is like putting some eye drops in Susan's face. And Zach is just pleading for Julie to talk to him.
Because she's been avoiding his calls.
Yes.
And Julie is like, maybe we should cool it.
Yeah.
And he is very upset about that. But when he storms away, Julie kind of like lets out a breath and is like, thank God, thanks mom, like I've been trying to think of an excuse for weeks to break up with him.
Yeah, because Zach was like, I don't understand why you don't like me, and Susan was like, maybe because you blinded her mom. Fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And then the Mary Alice isn't the button where Mary Alice is like, Susan takes
took her victories where she found them.
Yeah, so she was able to be a good mom for Julie in that moment by getting rid of her creepy ass boyfriend. And then and then it's Wisteria Lane at springtime.
I truly wrote in my notes that the lane looks beautiful here.
It's super pretty.
Like the coloring is reminiscent of like the early couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just like very vibrant and colorful, and I just thought it was beautiful. And I just wanted to say that.
I did write, it looks so pretty, high key. All the flowers and butterflies and happy people. Hee hee. And then we see George. Mm-hmm. It kind of cuts away from Wisteria Lane to like a, I guess, an orchid market?
Yeah,
like
I guess. A flower market? Like, yeah, flower.
And we see George for the first time in like a zillion fucking years.
Yeah.
And guess who else happens to be at this orchid market?
Brex. The fucking... My bones when George looks at Rex and is like, how's your health, Rex?
I shat my pants. How's my little pants.
Yeah.
George, I'm just going to say, I don't think this is a good thing necessarily, but George had such a backbone in this episode.
Yeah.
Like he was like, I don't know. He just felt very direct and angry in a way, which we hadn't seen him. And like, very like confident talking to Rex.
I feel like it's because we only see him talking to Bree, and with Bree he's a very different person than who he actually is.
Yeah. I don't know. I was shocked and impressed to see how like cutting he was with Rex. I was like, geez, okay, George.
And how Bree just doesn't acknowledge it.
Bree's like, this is normal.
Yeah. But basically like he's being very creepy.
And very direct with like, clearly he knows what's up with Rex.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand neither one of them.
I don't know.
Yeah, pointed out. And he asks for both of them to join him at a bonsai exhibit.
Yeah.
Which is fucking hilarious.
And Bree is based, because like Rex is unhappy about this and he's like, he's trying to ask you out and all this other crap. He's trying to get close to you. And she's like, no, we're just friends.
Yeah, and George is like, oh, are you threatened by me? And Rex is like, no. And then they have this very, they all start walking together and Bree puts her arms around both men.
This is where I wrote, this is Bree and her two husbands.
Bree and her two husbands, one of which is gay.
I wrote down a line that like, because they start doing an allegory about like weeds, right?
And beautiful Rex, flowers, and that's clearly Bree.
Yeah. And Rex is like, there's weeds and like sometimes it's just so hard to pull them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking boldness that George has, and he looks Rex in the eye and is like, anything. You can get rid of anything with chemicals.
Wild.
It's just like, save yourself, Rex.
Rex, please.
I never thought I would be here, but Rex, please.
I never intended to like Rex, but as we talked about last episode, he's an ally. He's becoming very down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's just picking up on some vibes about George that Bree is just completely ignoring because she's desperate for like a friend, a true friend. Because like George does enjoy the things she enjoys. If he wasn't cuckoo bananas, they could probably actually be really good friends because like, you know, you need those friends. Like if your partner doesn't have to be into every interest you have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have friends that are into those interests. So you have people to talk about about bonsai trees or whatever the fuck she wants to talk about. So like, I understand her yearning for a friend, but she's so desperate for it. Desperate? That she's ignoring the crazy red flags.
Yes. And then we cut to, after that weird scene, we cut to Gabby. And she's looking at brand new cars to
buy. Brand new Maseratis?
Because I guess they're over their poor face.
I mean, did they get the settlement, I guess, from the hospital?
I guess. I don't know. It might be implied.
Because, like, what was it? I feel like it was never explained.
They can't get the settlement until he's in jail.
So maybe she's just prepping?
I don't know what's going on.
I don't either. Did you recognize this actress?
No.
The saleswoman, the car saleswoman. You're going to shit your pants, and I'm ready to watch you do it.
She in Glee.
No.
Okay.
She's in the original Broadway cast that was filmed of Legally Blonde. She's Brooke Wyndham.
Oh my god.
She does Whipped Into Shape.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, she's the original Brooke Wyndham. She was also in a documentary called Every Little Step about the Chorus Line.
Okay.
Remake. I'm also a theater kid. I'm so sorry, everybody. but she's pretty cool. I don't know. I know her as Brooke Wyndham in Legally Blonde because she does that. If you're
her
not
fucking abs?
Yeah, her abs for one. If you're not a theater kid and you don't know what the wildness that is the Whipped Into Shape number.
Please look it up on YouTube. Like, it is there.
It's like a sprint for these actors because they have to sing and do like jumping jack choreography. Mm-hmm. She's very cool in it. If you liked her as the Maserati saleswoman with three kids,
yes,
then you'll like her in that.
But basically, Gabby is looking for a new car. I guess she's celebrating Carlos's quote, government stated sabbatical.
Yeah, she tells this woman about they're gonna have a barbecue on Friday to celebrate,
because like it's his
going away party.
Yeah, I guess it's like trying to make light of the situation, like give Carlos one last hurrah before he goes to prison.
I guess I don't know. It's just very funny that she's just telling this lady everything, and the woman is like, you know, a saleswoman, so she's trying not to react like that's fucking weird, dude.
Yeah,
but she's definitely like giving Gabby some weird eyes, which I found funny. And Gabby gets in the Maserati. The woman says it's like real
leather,
like Ram's leather with weird fucking shit. And Gabby starts getting really nauseous.
Yeah, and she throws up in the car.
She fucking barfs everywhere.
Yeah, and basically the random lady tells her like, oh yeah, I used to do that all the time when I was pregnant too. And Gabby's like, what do you mean? I'm not pregnant.
I actually did like the line when the woman was like, because Gabby was like, oh, I'm so nauseous lately. The woman's like, oh, are your titties sore and your back hurts?
Yeah.
And then I liked the interaction where she goes, oh, has it been going around? And then someone goes, only for centuries. I thought that was a pretty funny like
little interaction.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was good. I like the writing of this episode a lot. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But Gabby gets really offended.
Yeah, and she like reassures her. She's like, I'm on the pill, so get me a new car.
But not the one I threw up in.
No, because that one has throw up in it.
I would have been like, no, you threw up in this. Buy this car you threw up in.
It's rich people. Who knows?
Rich people. Cut to Tom's office. Lynette is bringing Tom like something he forgot, and there's a super hot lady named Annabelle Foster who does a slow motion hair flip and is like, oh, hey, Lynette. And Mary Alice then narrates this sort of flashback series where we see that Annabelle was a woman Tom was dating before he met Lynette Lindquist. I love
Holy
that last
fuck.
Name. That's a great last name. And he thought he wasn't the Marion type, so they were just hooking up at the office.
Mm-hmm.
The second he started hooking up with Lynette, he's like,
he was cheating
on her with
Annabelle,
Lynette,
with Lynette,
and was like, whoa, maybe I do want to marry people. And a bitter Annabelle went back to Chicago, Or so Lynette thought.
She's back.
She's back, baby.
And we find out that she's been back for 3 months and Tom did not say anything. Maybe this is the thing he said he did. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But basically, yeah, like Tom never said anything about her being back for 3 months.
That's kind of fucked up.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we can get more into it more in the scene where they confront each other about it. But like, this is the thing is with Tom in this episode. I actually thought the scenes with Tom and Lynette were really well written, even if I was upset by the content. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I hate that he does this, but I actually thought they were really well written scenes. So yeah. I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Lynette looks very shocked, but isn't going to cause a scene at the office. Mm-mm. She's like, I'll see you at home where I will be ripping you a new asshole.
And then we cut to Paul and Edie. Paul asks her, like, she's on site for building her house. And
still.
Yes, yeah, still.
Where is she
it's
staying?
Been so fucking long.
And they've only put up the fucking, like,
not even the base foundations. Like, there's not even a skeleton of a house.
Every time they go over there, they've only put, like, a couple of 2x4s up. And it's been months.
Yes.
They would have built a house in these months. Because her house burned down in the pilot, right? And... Oh my god.
Because the ending
Liz.
Of the pilot is everybody like standing outside.
Liz, it burned down in the fucking pilot. And as we know, it stayed pretty close to real time.
Wasn't Valentine's Day 6 months after Mary Alice killed herself?
Yes. It's literally been like it's been over half a year.
It's probably been like a year at this point.
Well, okay, it did take time for her to get her check. That was the big thing. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was taking a long time for her check to hit. But that still hit at least like 4 months ago, or 5 months ago in the show's time.
Yeah.
And they've only put down like the concrete foundation and a couple of beams.
Oh my god.
It's going to be season 7 and Edie's house is finally built.
Edie will get her house finally built on her deathbed.
She'll be 97. Yes. They'll be nailing in the last shingle and they'll be like,
as
we're
she
ready.
Takes her last breath, the final nail will be like put into place.
And then a spark from the nail happens. It hits the bottom and it burns the house down.
Jesus Christ.
And cremates Edie while she's in it. Thank you to, yes, we are writing season 9. That's what's happening in season 9.
It's a comic series.
Where were we at?
Paul asks Edie why she was really in his house that one night because he knows.
Which was 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. He knows it wasn't for a hookup. Because like some of his stuff was like messed up. And Edie fucking outsees it. I don't give a fuck. She's like, listen, she kept talking about Angela and dead babies and blackmail notes. And my next note is, Edie, I can't believe you just killed Susan.
Well, he threatened to call the police.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, I feel like that tracks for Edie's character, that she's not going to risk getting arrested or getting in trouble to protect Susan, who she doesn't really like.
Yeah.
Deep down, even though they're girlfriends. I wrote, handsome Mike is eavesdropping. He looked pretty hot in the scene. He was very handsome. And yeah, after that happens, Paul's like, cool, thanks. And Mike walks up and is like, what the fuck's up with Paul, Edie? And Edie tells him, basically.
Yeah. Edie doesn't care about anything.
She doesn't hide information, which I greatly enjoy. And so she's like, yeah, like, Paul wanted to know about some shit. We broke into his house. But whatever, it was Susan's fault.
Yeah. And then we cut to Susan at a coffee shop.
My favorite thing in TV shows is when we see a set we've never seen before and we'll never see again.
Yes, like the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And basically she gets her little coffee, turns around, sees Mike, and she goes and she sits down. And I have a fun fact.
Really?
The people at the table are all the women from the original Desperate Housewives show from 1923.
Whoa, Liz.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Did they do anything after that original Desperate Housewives production in 1923?
They just made a cameo in the 2005.
They've only had those two credits to their names.
Yes.
That's incredible. I can't believe that they were I mean, how old do they have to be in 19? I can't believe they were 100.
It was like Betty White.
I can't believe they're like 100 years old. They look so good.
Wasn't Betty White born in like 1929 or something?
I know she was born before sliced bread.
But they were all women though in 1923. So yes, they're about 100.
They were babies in the original Desperate Housewives. So
you know, there's baby Looney Tunes. It's like baby Desperate Housewives.
If we don't get that series greenlit by ABC, then this whole podcast isn't worth it. If we can't get baby Desperate Housewives greenlit,
I'm crying, laughing at my own dumb joke.
I can confirm that Liz does have tears in their fucking eyes. Face as red as a tomato.
I don't know why. We should move on before I die.
So she's at this coffee shop with the baby Desperate Housewives cast, and Mike walks in, and so in an attempt to avoid him, she sits down at the table with these women, but Mike immediately is like, hey Susan. And he basically is like, hey, I know about the break-in. Edie told me and Paul, so stay away from Paul, he's a dangerous guy. And Susan's like, what's up? And he's like, I can't tell you, but just don't mess with them, okay? And they just clearly miss each other so much. I just want them to fucking get together.
We're gonna have to wait till the last episode of the season, and even then season two, my prediction is that they're gonna have to like break up again or something.
You gotta save your predictions.
I know, for the
season one wrap up.
You're right.
Ugh. But that's basically that scene.
Yeah, and then we cut to Rex.
Mm-hmm. That's the house.
My note is Rex wants to date George. I don't know why I wrote that.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's because he's been thinking about the pharmacist. Because he's like, I've been thinking about the pharmacist, Brie.
I'm thinking I want to see what this Andrew shit's all about. I think I want to kiss some boys.
Yeah. But basically, through this scene, we find out that Rex is somehow now the only sane person in this show.
Yes.
Because he's warning Brie, and he's like, listen, like, I want to switch pharmacies, Brie. Like, I don't trust George, and I don't think you should hang out with him, and like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and Brie keeps trying to sort of relent and be like, I really want a friend. Like, I really need someone who likes my interests. And he's like, he's in love with you, and you may think that's ridiculous, but like, I see the way he trembles when you touch him, and I see the way he looks at you.
Yeah.
And I think that like that makes Brie realize, oh, maybe he is right. Maybe he is in love with me.
And like part of the end of the scene is her being like, do you still tremble when you touch me? Yes. And he's like, no, we've been married for 18 years. And which is just like, I think that's also why she likes hanging out with George, because she likes being around someone
she
who's
feels
very
wanted.
Invested.
You
in
want to feel
yeah.
wanted by somebody. Yeah. It's like, it's just normal to feel like it's cool that someone wants you. I don't know. Like, yeah. So I understand it. It does suck because I am worried about George. But she does, I think, agree at the end of the scene. Or at least we get the impression, and we will then see, she's going to agree to sort of go maybe break things off with George and switch pharmacies to respect her husband's wishes, which you know, normally I wouldn't completely encourage that, but Rex is correct.
Yeah.
Rex is right.
And then we cut to
the pharmacy.
Gabby just has a pregnancy test and is inquiring to one of the workers,
Ginger.
Mm-hmm. Being like, is this one good? Is this a good test?
They're all the same, basically.
Yeah, you can get one from the dollar store. It works
truly
the same.
Does not matter. Yeah. And
please.
Yeah, the lady tells her she can't use the bathroom.
Yeah.
But then George is like, comes up and is like, yeah, go use the bathroom.
And then when Gabby leaves, George flips a switch and is like, I told you not to be rude to the freaking customers, Ginger. What are you doing here? Do you want to get fired?
I kind of love Ginger.
Yeah.
I'm going to toss her in the bucket for lesbian of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Only because of the haircut kind of reminds me of when my lesbian mom had. And also her not giving a shit about George, I kind of loved.
Yeah. I also wrote Ginger for lesbian of the episode nom.
I just thought she was fun. I don't know. Yeah. She just felt good to me. I just like how dead-eyed she was the entire time.
Yes.
But George flips another switch when Brie walks up.
Mm-hmm. And Brie basically is in, and she tells him that Rex thinks he's in love with her.
Why would you say that?
Because she's wild. And George is like, I'm not in love with you. I have a girlfriend and it's Ginger.
And she lives in Canada and she's a woman, and she's a model. She's a model, and she lives just really far away, and she cannot FaceTime.
No. And like sometimes she asks me to send her just a couple $100s. But it's fine. It's totally fine.
That's my girlfriend, Brie. That's my girlfriend, who's a girl,
and my friend. But more importantly, my girlfriend,
like a girlfriend who I'm in love with. We have so much sex.
It's like dirty, kinky, nasty
sex, like wet.
Sex wet.
Yeah, we have so much of that.
Kinky,
Brie.
Kinky, dirty, nasty sex wet.
Buy in our store. And so yeah, he says he's dating Ginger, and sort of in the bit earlier, it's kind of planted where he's like, you need to start smiling more at people, which what a great thing to tell a lady. So when they look over at Ginger, she smiles, and then Bree's immediately like, well, that smile must mean she's in love.
God.
And she invites
them to the barbecue.
Yes, I was like, where's my brain? And she thinks that if Rex sees George with another woman, that he will not be as threatened by George.
Yeah. And then at the end of the scene, Gabby comes out and just walks out of the store.
She kicks the door. She goes, son of a bitch! And like kicks the fucking door in. And I thought that was very funny.
I think it's a great way to end the scene. Also, she did not pay for that pregnancy test.
She pissed all over it and just left it in the fucking employee bathroom.
She just threw it on the ground.
Ginger walks in later and just smiles.
Just piss all over the floor.
Gabby didn't know how to aim, and she's
never used a public bathroom, so she doesn't know how to do it.
Did you ever see that? This is so weird, and we can cut this. Did you ever see the movie Daddy Daycare?
Yes.
You know the part where the kid pisses all over the room and Eddie Murphy opens the door and looks horrified? That's Ginger coming in and saying that Gabby somehow pissed on the ceiling, on every wall.
Gabby just climbed the wall.
Gabby just pissed on every surface in the bathroom.
Jesus. And then after that, we cut to Tom and Lynette. And basically,
Lynette looked like a movie villain.
Yeah. Tom is basically, like, very, very defensive in this scene. He's saying that, like, he didn't tell her because he knew how she would react. And I was just helping her out.
I just want to be a good guy.
And, like, Lynette point blank is like, do you still have feelings for her? And he avoids the fucking question.
Why not just say no? Even if you're lying, why not just say no, dude?
He literally avoids every single question that she asks him.
It's so sus. Like, truly, like, I cannot believe, even if you're lying, why he didn't say no. Like, I was shocked. I continue to be shocked that, spoiler alert, the episode didn't end in, like, a cheating thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's seriously in this scene, it feels like he does have feelings for her.
Maybe the thing he did was he was cheating on her for 3 months also.
Maybe. I'm really worried about it. Like, I could not. That was the thing that got me when she said, do you have feelings for her? And he just walked off. I was like, what the fuck, dude? That was why. And I like Tom. The thing is, I want to like him, but then he's good for like 5 episodes and then he randomly pulls some shit with Lynette. And I'm like, come on, dude.
I know why he stomped off.
Why?
He had to change his diaper.
Tom had to change his little baby diaper.
Yeah, because he's
a little piss baby.
Yeah,
I could not believe that. That was said, and Lynette is like, I don't want you to work with her, get her transferred.
Yeah,
because like
she brings up the travel job that like he had earlier. That was a good callback, actually.
This writer did a good job, actually. I actually really enjoyed the structure of this episode and the writing. I was very impressed by this episode, and that there's a lot of good callbacks.
And basically Tom is like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And Lynette says, if you don't do it, I'm gonna ruin your work life. I'm gonna bring the kids in all the time. I'm gonna come in all the time. I'm gonna embarrass you. I'm gonna ruin your work life. And he's like, oh God, he just gets so fucking mad.
He digs his fucking heels in and he says, I'll get you a parking spot because she's staying.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe.
He's risking his marriage.
Risking his marriage for this woman. And that this is the hill he's gonna die on? Of all the hills in your marriage, you're gonna die on this one. It's a little. That's what makes me think he's got
to
be cheating.
That's what I'm saying, because it's like maybe Lynette wouldn't threaten to try to ruin your work life if you said you didn't have feelings for her.
Like truly, like I said, even if you're lying, even if you do have feelings, just fucking deny it. I don't know. I'm not trying to like encourage cheating if that's what he's doing, but I just, you're not being smart about it, Tom. I don't know. I just, I can't believe that he's digging his heels in so much. He's like digging his own grave.
Yeah.
And well, oh, the later scene, we got to talk about it. It's going to get even more intense. So,
but for now, buckle your seatbelts. But for now, we cut to Zach. And basically he leaves, he like gives Susan a gift for throwing gravel in her face because
I thought
like,
that they were supposed to be for Julie and he maybe was pulling a story out of his ass, but no, he genuinely wanted them for Susan.
Cause he's like, listen, since we're going to be, he doesn't say this, but since we're going to be, in-laws one day, I want to be friends. Yeah. Cause like, he's like, I want to be friends with you. And Susan point blank is like, that's not going to happen. Remember when you screamed all over my house and tipped over like and threw a table.
I've been the craziest boy of all time.
Yeah.
And he literally is like, for Julie's sake, her boyfriend and her mom got to get along. And I'm like, oh, he's one of those boys.
Yeah.
He's been broken. He's been like repeatedly broken up with by Julie and he's just not getting it in his fucking head.
And, but it kind of gets in his head when Susan goes, she doesn't want anything to do with you.
And he starts getting crazy boy again, much like we saw in the kitchen that night.
Yeah.
He's unhinged, dude. But then Paul screams from across the street for him to come back.
That was spooky.
That was spooktastic. Oh my God. And yeah, he like, you know, he starts yelling at Susan and Paul, you know, screams at him to come back. And the Tillmeister is clocking all of it. She's eyes wide.
And then we get a flashback. And oh, Mackenzie, you were in the other room when I was watching this episode. Hallelujah. And I screamed. You heard me scream.
I heard you scream and I knew what was happening.
Because we got a flashback. We got the hoobsy back.
Hoops. I love her. I love her.
It's so good. It's basically a flashback with the hoobs and the Tillmeister.
Yes.
And the hoobs is being like,
clearly she was visiting the Tillmeister maybe. Yeah.
And she's like, you know Mary Alice? And the Tillmeister's like, that's not Mary Alice. That's this girl Angela I used to work with. You know, she was a very disturbed, or she worked with a very disturbed woman who had a baby. And then like a year later, the dad disappeared. So like, you know, Mary Alice did what, or like Angela did what she had to do. And the Hoobs is like, she stole a baby. And Tillmeister's like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she sort of says she didn't like know for sure, but she had always hoped in her heart that that Angela gave that baby a better life.
Yeah.
Because she sort of is a little like, you know, for someone who worked at a rehabilitation center, very gross towards someone with a drug problem. Cause she's like, she was a drug addict, Martha.
This had to be like pretty soon, like before Mary Alice killed herself. Like, because, like, think about, like, I know what you did. That's probably what that was about.
Which is wild.
Which is how she found out.
You know what's wild? I had this thought during the episode, forgot about it, and then you just brought it up. I remember thinking that it's wild to me that the note was probably about the stealing of the baby.
Yeah.
And not
the killing.
The killing of this woman who all signs, I don't want to do spoilers, but, like, all signs are pointing to it being Deidre, clearly.
Yeah.
And, like, it's very interesting that clearly Mary Alice assumed it was about the fact that they like killed somebody, but it was just about the baby. I don't know. It's just very interesting that like there was even knowledge that the Hoobs didn't necessarily have when she made that note. Like, cause it was mostly about just the baby, not even about the other bad things that they
did
had done.
Did the Hoobs eventually find out that she killed, that like they killed someone? Cause I feel like there was a confrontation scene where the Hoobs is like to Paul, you killed someone. Maybe not. Oh no, it was just I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, that was that.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I may be wrong, but yeah. I just was like, I wonder if the Hoobs didn't even know.
Listen, it's been like 20 weeks. So it's okay
so
if we don't
remember.
And then we cut to after the wonderful flashback. Lynette and Angela. What's her name? The woman.
Oh, I thought you meant like Mary Alice.
Oh, no.
I was like, what?
Oh,
Annabelle.
No, Angela, Annabelle. So something in my notes is everybody here, I just assume, really knows that I'm bad with names at this point. After I wrote Annabelle the first time, I could not for the life of me remember her name throughout the rest of the episode, even though they've said it a few times.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, I forgot her name. But yes, we cut to Lynette and Annabelle, and Annabelle wants to fuck Lynette, and I'll just put that out there.
I agree. Lynette walked in an intentionally sexy dress.
Yes,
and Annabelle was like,
it's supposed to be like a power move,
lunch.
I think. Just yeah. Us.
I didn't write this down, but I thought lesbian of the episode, Annabelle trying to be Lynette and Tom's third.
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't they just open their marriage up to Annabelle? That could solve everything.
I don't know. Lynette is afraid.
So we have two nominees. Is it just Annabelle or is it both of them?
I don't know. I think just
maybe just
Annabelle.
So Annabelle and Ginger are now our nominees.
Yeah. I kind of think Annabelle because
you're
vibing.
Yeah, she was giving some vibes, especially when she did the first like turnaround and like, hi, Lynette. And it might just be her trying to be a bitch, but it came off as sexy.
Yes. I don't think Annabelle's coming off as a bitch. I like that. Maybe I'm misreading
it. I think she's coming off as someone who has fucked Tom.
Yeah.
I think she is definitely, I think in the later scene, it's more obvious. I think she is trying to ruffle feathers a bit.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's...
I don't see
it. Yeah, I need to see more of her, for
sure. Because also, like, when Lynette, like...
Is she in other episodes?
Lynette is like, hey, you need to back off Tom. And Annabelle's like, listen, I'm not looking to break up a happy marriage.
Yeah, So, I don't know. I feel like she is sort of poking a bit. Okay, she's going to be in other episodes. So, she's going to be... I looked up, she's going to be in two more episodes. Okay. So, hopefully we'll get a bit more of her. And we can see the vibes. But I think she's definitely, I don't know.
I think she's just like.
I think she sees that Lynette is threatened by her. And I think she's kind of enjoying it a bit.
Because
does that make
Lynette
sense?
Is the one who like broke up her relationship. Exactly. So she probably, even if she is like over the relationship, which I don't know because like she's in two more episodes.
Yeah.
Like it could just be that she's just like always going to be kind of like pissed.
I'd be a little bitter about it too. And like. I don't know. I think she is just sort of enjoying the fact that Lynette is so threatened by her.
Yeah.
Because she's got, like, I mean, and also I will say later Lynette is like, she's gorgeous, gorgeous body.
Mm-hmm. Which.
I'm looking.
I see it.
I see you, Lynette. But yeah, so I think maybe she's just enjoying watching Lynette squirm because, I mean, Lynette stole her boyfriend. So are we officially naming Annabelle lesbian of the episode?
I think so.
Okay.
Should we?
Okay. Yeah, why not? Yeah. It's our show. We can do whatever
we want.
We
can do whatever the heck we want.
Ha, 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 ha.
And then we cut to Gabby at church.
Incredible.
And at first I was confused because I was like, I didn't know that we as the audience knew that Gabby was religious. But then I'm like, of course she's not. She's just talking to the priest that John talked to at the hospital. And we had that little mini plot point.
So he's back after a decent amount of episodes. Yeah. It's cool that he's back.
Basically, she just wants to know who to be angry at.
Yeah, and he is kind of upset that she's still shtipping the gardener, as I put in my notes. He says, maybe just be thankful for this child. And she's like, cool, fuck off.
Yeah. Children are a gift, Gabby.
The fucking
she
line.
She has like a face like after he says that.
The fucking line where she was like, you know, the pill is 99.9% effective. And he's like, maybe it's that 0.1% where God resides. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Get out of my face.
Get out of here.
And that's like a pretty quick scene.
It's very short, yeah.
Because then we cut to Edie and Lynette.
My favorite fucking duo, I think.
And it's so fucking funny because Lynette goes up to her and is like, listen, you're a predator. I need advice.
I loved them interacting when they after the poker game that one time. And I loved this scene. It's my two favorite ladies together, I think.
And like... I wrote, like, after the Predator, like, I need advice stuff. I wrote, Lynette, are you sure you just don't trust Tom? Like, I feel like it's not that, like, she's very afraid of this woman. I feel like it would be okay if she didn't if she trusted her husband.
Yeah, there's a big breach of trust there.
It's probably just because also, like, one, he avoided the question about having feelings about her.
For sure, I'd be
and two, it's probably in her mind that, like, the reason we got together is because you were cheating on someone.
And she brings it up later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I think that it's an issue with Tom. I mean, it's such a storyline within, like, with cheating storylines. Not that Tom is cheating as of now that we are aware of as an audience, but in terms of, like, the person being cheated on, the wife, the girlfriend, always blames the other woman. When, like, the man or the person who is doing the cheating, I'm just saying man because we're talking about Tom, and a lot of these storylines do revolve around, like, more heterosexual appearing couples. Like, the man it never gets the blame. It's always the other woman when it's like, he's making the decision to do this. It takes two to tango. And I'm surprised that she's not examining her relationship with Tom more.
Yeah.
I don't know. She just doesn't trust Tom. Annabelle theoretically hasn't done shit yet. And Tom is the one who's being sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say, I agree with you.
Yes. And basically, like, the point of this conversation is Edie ultimately tells her, like, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
Yeah, befriend this woman.
Yeah. And so then we cut to a very quick little thing where Lynette comes home and tells Tom she is thinking about having a dinner party and inviting Annabelle.
I laughed because she doesn't have, like, it's just, we'll see later.
Yeah, we'll see later. We'll talk about, like, the dinner party quote. But then we cut to Zach, and he's, like, still so in love with Julie.
Oh, my God.
And my life is gonna end. and Paul literally is like, listen, you're not special, Zach, which is fucking wild.
Wild. Because he's like, Julie's special and you're not, bro.
Yeah.
Which I agree. Julie is the most special girl in the world.
Is the most special girl in the whole world.
Andrea Bowen. Andrea Bowen is the most special girl
yes.
in the world.
Yes. And basically, like, Zach is like, listen, you don't get it. If Julie doesn't love me, nothing matters.
I love your Zach impression.
Thank you.
You just really embody the creepy little boy.
Thank you.
And then we cut to the dinner party that is just Annabelle. It's not even a party. They just invited her over for dinner.
Yeah.
And Tom and Annabelle are like vibing so hard and giggling. And Lynette is like cleaning the dishes. And the babies come down.
And they're like, look at this little picture we made. Mom told us to make it. And Lynette's like, no, I didn't.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. I thought that was a funny bit. Oh, this is where I wrote, I don't even know what she does, but I wrote, this moment Annabelle giving me I want to be your third vibes.
This moment is when I wrote Lynette and, sorry, woman, as lesbian of the episode because I couldn't remember Annabelle.
I don't remember what they do, but I love how we both noted the moment, but I don't remember what the moment is.
Well, I have to like find it and like.
Apparently they looked gay in this moment and
we'll
both felt
that.
We'll
post pictures or something on Instagram later.
But I think that's kind of it for now.
Yeah, because then we cut to our favorite couple.
God, Jesus.
Paul and Susan.
They dance to Dust in the Wind. They're
and,
fucking
you know,
made for
like,
each other.
I've missed them because they're so cute together. And basically, he walks up to her and is like, hey, what do you want to know about Angela? And then it cuts to inside Susan's house, right?
I think it was his house, actually.
Okay. They're inside a house.
They're inside someone's house.
They're inside Bree's house. And he's basically lying his ass off and saying that Angela was Mary Alice's aunt who raised her. And they got into a really bad fight once. So she changed her name.
And he's like, see how shockingly simple it is, Susan?
And Susan is like, okay, that's... okay, I would still like to see the tape that was marked Angela. And he's like, it was thrown out.
I burned it in a fire. Yeah. I don't want to think about my wife ever again. Sorry.
Yeah, all memories of my wife, that's what she was. All memories, see, I don't even kind of remember who she was to me. All memories of her before she was Mary Alice just are kind of gone.
They're just gone. Wild, wild, wild.
I don't know why that's weird. And then we cut back to
the dinner party.
And oh God, it's Peterson.
Yeah, I love that they called this guy by his last name. They're like, oh, Peterson's on the line. Like, it's a very funny, like, this is how corporate America works. I think it's very funny.
Basically, Annabelle goes to take a phone call. And Tom and Lynette get into
this fucking scene. Tom says he's insulted.
Yeah, and my notes are, it's an insult to you, a bunch of question marks. And he's like, you gotta stop being so insecure, Lynette. And
loudly.
I wrote all caps, insecure, and a bunch of question marks.
I said, he yells and asks if he's ever given her reason to doubt him. And in all caps, I wrote, yeah, with the nanny.
Yeah.
He wanted to fuck the nanny so bad that they had to fire her. That's...
And basically, like, Lynette is like, listen, anyone is capable of anything.
Yes.
And
then she brings up what you said.
Yes.
You cheated on her with me. It's a pattern of behavior, bro. And I actually, I feel similarly in that
Lynette,
way.
Lynette, it makes me sick that you would that you would do this.
It was so harsh. The language he used was so harsh.
The way he ends the fight, where he's like, how long till you drive me out of this marriage just to prove you're right?
I thought that was a very well-written line, but it also, my little jaw dropped. I could not believe Tom's, like, where did Tom's backbone come from?
I don't know.
Like, truly, he's been such a little noodle man for, like, all these episodes.
Just a wet noodle man.
Just a little wet noodle man, like, but he is really digging his heels in. I was shocked by this Tom scene. I couldn't believe it. And then, and yeah, Lynette is... That I don't think I've ever seen Lynette to be like speechless.
Yeah,
she's so strong, you know what I mean, and she's so like direct and like doesn't back down. I've never seen her take a hit so hard. It made me really fucking sad.
Yeah,
I like Lynette.
Yeah, Lynette's
it sucks. Yeah.
Remember when we loved Lynette at the beginning of the podcast?
I still feel that way.
Yeah, I still love her.
Little queen.
Yeah. Little goddess Lynette.
My little goddess Lynette.
And then we... Oh, no. And then Annabelle comes out and says that they got to pull an all... Yeah. Peterson, like, they got to pull an all-nighter.
Wild.
And Tom was like, well, I can't drive because I've been drinking. And so Annabelle's like, I haven't been drinking. Let's go.
I'll deliver him back to you, Lynette. And I was like, bitch. Like, that was pointed.
Yeah.
Annabelle Foster, Miss Steal Your Man.
Yeah. And then we cut to a prison going away party. And I just want to say Edie in the shades with the outfit with her margarita.
The fit.
We got to put it on the fit watch.
The fit watch on our Instagram. The fit was there. Edie and the Tills were really great.
I just wrote Gilfy because she's there, but she's not doing anything.
Oh, Sophie?
Yeah. Gilfy.
I'm just calling her Gilfy now.
Yeah.
I like how the only other thing she's done this episode, we didn't even touch on because it was so like
pointless,
was her hanging up the beads in the living room and being like, Susie, do you like I love how they were like, we're gonna get this famous Academy Award nominated actress
and then she's gonna do nothing. And basically like, but yeah, Edie's so good with her look. I cannot wait to drink a margarita with you, Mackenzie, anyway.
Oh, yes.
I'll stop saying it. I'm sorry if it's annoying.
Zach arrives in a full fucking suit.
A full beige suit where even the adults are not wearing suits.
Because it's a casual barbecue.
Just a barbecue, yeah. BBQ.
Oh, my God. I thought Zach in a full suit was fucking hilarious.
And then George and Ginger come in and we find out that he made her skip her gay cousin's wedding.
Yes, I'm assuming the cousin's gay because he makes the comment that it's not a wedding, it's a commitment ceremony.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, wow, do you remember pre-gay marriage being legal? We may go back to it. Sorry to bring that in. but yeah, I just think that's very funny that this was well before gay marriage was legal, and he was like, it's not a wedding, it's a commitment ceremony.
And then Zach tries to go up to Julie and he's like trying to hang out, and he brings her two hot dogs with like a fuck ton of mustard and relish on
it. Was like the grossest looking hot dogs I've ever seen.
I mean, I love some mustard, but that was just
that was
drenched.
A lot. That was fucking, it was like, oops, all mustard. Oh, also Gabby, we missed, she kind of saw herself upstairs because she's nauseous.
Oh yes,
so that's happening. And she's upstairs trying not to puke.
Yes,
but that's basically what that she's doing.
But basically Julie fucking tells him off and she's like, leave me alone.
Yeah,
like I don't want to be with you.
I don't want you. And he
good for you.
Maybe gets it. He finally leaves her alone and he walks off. I don't think we see him again in the episode. Do
no, I don't think so.
Not like with Julie, but
yeah.
And then we go back upstairs. So we get these little moments of Gabby being nauseous, but now we see her upstairs. She thinks about drinking some alcohol and then pours it out.
Yeah.
And starts hitting her birth control in anger.
And in like her fit of rage, like she smashes the birth control like out of the thing.
Yeah.
And she sees that it's been very obviously tampered with.
I love how Carlos was like fucking using like tweezers and shit and glue, and then it was still very obviously tampered with, and she knows immediately it was Carlos.
Yeah,
what a bad marriage they're in.
What a bad marriage. Get a divorce.
Get a divorce challenge. Gabby, get a divorce challenge.
Marry someone else for the money. Marry someone old so he can die.
Marry me, Gabby.
Yeah, because you're like what, 93?
Yeah, About to be 92, about to be 93 in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I'll get you something nice. What do you want, like a shower seat?
I would love that. Sorry, I was just reminiscing about how I was actually in Baby Desperate Housewives in 1923.
Yes.
I was just reminiscing on how long it's been. that was bad. Then we go back to the party and we get a tiny, tiny moment of Zach seeing Julie hugging, like, I think a guy that's supposed to be their age, but he looked like he was 30.
Yeah.
But Zach is jealous little baby.
Mm-hmm. And then Rex sees George and he's mad.
He's angry.
And he just starts going off and he's like, what are you doing here?
We told you to keep your distance. Get out of here.
Yeah. Listen, Bree, he crashed the party. Oh, I was chanting. They were so, like, Bree and George were standing on the edge of the pool. And this whole time that Rex was going off, I was like, please push him in. And since our boy directed this,
Jeff Melman said someone's got a fucking fly in this episode, and it's gonna be them.
Yeah,
literally, I wrote classic Jeff Melman. when they went, yeah, because Rex is like. One, I did love Ginger stuffing her fucking face with like, tortilla chips. But then Rex is like, fuck this guy. Pushes him in the pool. And George like grabs onto Bree and rips her in with
if
him.
If you're I'm going down, you're going down with me, Bree. I want to get wet with you.
Bree, I want to get you wet, Bree.
I want to get you wet, Bree.
Me at Bree.
No.
Me at Bree, I would have sex with Bree.
That's the joke. That's the joke.
It's very real. Marcia Cross, call me. yeah. Then Gabby comes. So they're hitting the pool. I love all these like quick things. It leads to my favorite gif that I use on our Twitter account all the time. So they push the guy in the pool. And then Gabby comes out, screams that she's pregnant, and knows Carlos did it, and slaps the shit out of Carlos and then runs away. Carlos looks happy, which is annoying.
Yes. And then Susan follows Gabby. And I think it's kind of like, Susan doesn't really have a lot to do this episode. Like, she had the one conversation with Paul, and that's about
she's
it.
Just chilling.
And I feel like the beginning narration that we got for Susan is just so she could have this conversation with Gabby. I feel like there was a little bit more. Oh, no, I mean, I guess we had some stuff to do with, like,
with Julie and with
Paul,
in the
very beginning. Maybe it's just because it was so sporadic.
Yeah, like, this was one of those episodes that had those short little clippy scenes.
Maybe it just didn't connect with me until right now.
Until just now. That's why we're together, Liz.
That's why we're... Because you complete me.
I love you so much. I love you so much. Oh my fucking God.
But basically, Susan follows Gabby, and they start having this, like, conversation, and Gabby's like, listen, I don't know who the father is. And Susan is like, you are still sleeping with the boy?
Especially when she told all of her friends she was done with that. And...
Well, only Susan knew.
Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. I forgot none of the other women found out.
Yeah.
That's some juicy goss. I wonder if the other ladies are going to find out. They've got to if she's pregnant.
They got to.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So, yeah, Susan was, like, shocked. And the advice she gives is advice I feel like I've heard a lot as well, being like, you can't, you know, imagine your life. You can't imagine being a mom, but then the second you, like, have your baby, you can't imagine life without them.
Yeah.
But before they can keep talking...
Fucking another gut punch. Susan's kitchen blows the fuck up.
Wild.
I at first thought Zach did it.
I did too. I mean, we don't have confirmation.
We don't have confirmation who did it. There's a very pointed look, like when the fire's out and
They go back.
It
thankfully,
like,
didn't spread to the house.
It's just
contained.
The kitchen.
Yeah.
And like, there's a very like pointed look that Susan has with Paul across the street. So maybe insinuating that he did it.
I mean, signs point to him.
I feel like, I don't know. I was just so scared that Zach did it.
I mean, I think that they both, if we're playing the real Scooby-Doo game, I think that both could have very well been implicated because they were the two that came to the party last.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Other than George, and I don't think George would have a reason to do that. They did come to the party later than everybody else. You know what I mean? So, like, I think either one of them could have been the person to do it.
Yeah. And after that little thing.
Oh, yeah. And there's a bit with Sophie, too, where the firefighter says the reasoning why it blew up is because the stove gas was turned on and a candle was left lit next to it. And Susan's like, we don't burn candles during the day. Sophie says she did burn one, but she's pretty sure she blew it out. So Susan is worried that her mom might have done it before, you know, and then
makes the eye contact.
Yeah, but like there's a moment where they try to kind of hint that maybe Sophie just did it by accident. But yeah, so it was a candle burning.
My next note is wrong because I just I wrote Brie apologizing to Brie.
she's in the mirror. She apologizes to herself.
But the next scene is basically Brie apologizing to George
for what Rex did,
being like, Wex doesn't want us to be friends. Or George says that.
Yes.
And Brie doesn't give a crap. She's like, we can be friends in secret.
Yeah, it's weird. It's once again like this fucking episode between Tom and now Brie. It's like these people are choosing other people, other meddling individuals over their own marriage in both senses. You know what I mean? Like Tom is choosing Annabelle over his marriage, and now Brie is choosing George potentially over her marriage. I don't know. It's weird. It's like I like that Brie is taking ownership of her own life and being like, these are my choices. Mm-hmm. I want you in my life. But also, Brie, he's like creepyzoid boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm nervous for whatever's going to happen with George.
And then we cut to Susan.
Oh, this is good.
Yes. She is hiring a PI to go look after Paul. And we find out it's the PI that Paul...
Mr. Shaw.
Yeah, it's... Or Mr. Shaw. I thought it said Haft on the paper.
I don't know. I just know his name. He's credited as Mr. Shaw. Yeah.
Maybe it's Shaw. Maybe I just saw something else. But yeah, it's the PI who's actively friends with Paul. So it's like...
And has had sex with Edie.
I thought you were going to say and has had sex with Paul.
And has had sex with Paul. He has sex with everyone. Mr. Shaw?
Yeah.
It's around. I thought it was so interesting how she was like, do you think you could do that? And he's like, oh, for fucking sure. Do you think, I want to know your prediction, do you think that Mr. Shaw is going to tell Paul, or do you think Mr. Shaw is going to take the money and spy on Paul?
Don't we know in this season?
We might. I don't remember. And we're spoiler free, so.
We're spoiler free, but I feel like I know. I feel like we see it this season. I feel like that's one thing I remember.
I don't remember. Actually, I don't remember at all. Which isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I mean,
shit.
I don't remember. I didn't remember a lot of this episode when I was watching it.
But yeah, I'm just interested to see like whose side he will take, whose money is worth more, I guess, to him. But I thought that was a pretty cool ending.
Yeah.
I hope that Susan uncovers some shit.
Me too. Well, we get a couple different things.
In the final monologue.
The monologue being like, mistakes like with Gabby, like mistakes she made in her past, not getting caught with like Brie and George.
Yes.
I love the Tillmeister's gnomes. She has a couple gnomes.
She's just like happily gardening.
And the last shot is the creepiest fucking thing. It is a lighter, and then it's Zach just like holding and playing with this lighter. And then you see that he has a bunch of fucking stalker pictures of Julie on his wall.
Do you want to know what I wrote in my notes?
Of course.
I wrote, we see a lighter being held by Zach, looking like a little psycho. And he has a shrine of Julie that looks identical to ours.
Yes.
The shrine you and I have to
honestly,
Julie.
Honestly, it's kind of embarrassing.
I was like, wow, they stole our shrine.
They stole
and
our
put it on the set of Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
Our Julie shrine.
We gotta get one up.
Andrea Bone will never come on the show. Andrea Bone will be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
These people are fucking wild. Fucking and weird I will not gay go people. Anywhere near them.
But yeah. See, I feel like that's got to be a red herring.
Yeah.
That's got to be, like, why would they give it to us that early, like, Zach with a lighter? Also, because I guess you light candles.
Yeah, that's probably a red
herring. I just feel like it's got to be a red herring. It can't be Zach.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was just being creepy.
Yeah. But that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And boy, was it a good one. I actually really enjoyed that episode a lot.
Me too.
If you want to find us on the social medias and keep up with our awesome shit, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Desperate Dykes, or at our website
http://desperatehousedykes.com
for all of the cool stuff that we post, our episodes, more about us, as well as our
merch page. I love our merch so much. One day we're gonna get a detective cap.
We're gonna get a detective cap,
and that will be the only hat I wear from now on. But yeah, we have some really cool our like stuff on there, just like the logo. We have some Stay Juicy stuff. We have a pillow that says I killed Martha Huber,
which we've never talked about. No. But it was a reference to when Edie said
I killed Martha Huber.
Like is there gonna be a pillow that says I killed Martha Huber?
So we have that.
We have some fun stuff
the
in there.
kinky dirty nasty sex sweat that we mentioned in this episode.
Lots of fun stuff. And if you take a photo in your merchandise, tag us on Twitter and Instagram, and we will put it on our stuff. If you go to our Instagram, we have a little story that you can click and see us, as well as some awesome fans and their merchandise.
Yeah. So if you want to get featured on there, just snap a pic and send it over.
And send it over via Insta.
If you want to find us personally on social media, you can find me, Liz, on any forms at The Pigeon Wizard.
And you can find me on Twitter, Mackenzie, at Mackenzie Wilkes.
Yeah. And you know what we love, everyone?
What do we love?
We love little reviews.
Little reviewies.
Reviews are so good. They make our day.
Yes, we love hearing from you.
We love hearing them. They also help people find the show.
Yeah.
So if you have some time, just like fill out a little review on iTunes. And we usually like to put little questions at the end of every episode.
Your brain noodles working.
Yeah. So you can incorporate them into your reviews. You never have to, but we like doing it because it's fun. and last week was your fantasy. Like, what do you fantasize every day about here? And this week should be, what would be your blow-up moment at the barbecue? Like, what would happen to you?
Who would you be confronting?
Yeah,
like,
and why?
Yeah. I would be... My brain, I don't even... I would be... pulling Edie aside.
Yeah.
And being like, this tension, it can't be here any longer.
No.
And then she's gonna be like, Mackenzie, not here, not in public. Susan's right over there. I can't do this. And I'm gonna blow up and I'm gonna scream and be like, you told me you loved me last night. Why did you do this to me, Edie? And I'll just scream and run away.
Holy
because
shit.
Edie is denying that we're having an affair because she's scared
and, like,
of our love.
It might have. Do you mind if I cut in?
No, please cut in. Yeah.
I just feel like between you and Edie, it might have started off as something casual, but then actual feelings.
It's gotten deeper, and she's refusing to acknowledge it, and
she's afraid of the commitment.
It's tearing me apart, and so I'm going to confront her about it. And when she refuses to talk, I will just scream at the barbecue that she's in love with me, and I'll storm off. And I'll go light a candle in Susan's apartment.
next to her gas stove.
Yes. Who would you confront about what?
I think my moment would be, I'm like swimming in the pool. I just get out and I'm wet.
Yeah.
Right?
Soaking.
And I'm about to like, I've been like flirting with someone on the lane. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Greenberg again.
Ida. Yeah, you and Ida do have a storyline going on. I forget.
I think I'm like, me and Ida have been flirting a little bit these past couple weeks. And like, I go up to her and like, I get her a drink. And I hear, not so fast. And I whip my head around.
Oh my God.
And it's the Hoobs.
And she's alive?
She's parting the sea of people. And, like, they're on two separate sides as she walks down.
She's alive.
And she looks the best she's ever looked in her entire fucking life.
I can't believe she's alive.
And she comes up to me. And I'm like, I thought you were gone.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I faked my death. Paul didn't kill me. I just can slow my heartbeat. And she basically she's yelling at me for flirting with someone new, but it's not my fault because I thought she was dead.
You thought she was dead.
She
can't be blamed.
She slaps me.
Whoa.
And she slaps my drink out of my hand.
Whoa.
And then she kills Ida Greenberg.
What a wild fucking
and then
barbecue.
She just leaves. She throws a smoke bomb down and she leaves.
What a wild fucking barbecue. Oh my god. So in your review,
it's the season finale.
It's the season finale. The barbecue lasts 3 episodes. So in your review, if you want to, you can tell us who you confronted the barbecue about what, or you can just say something nice. Say what you enjoy about the show. Say things that you want to see in the show. Truly, we just like hearing from you, getting reviews or Instagram messages.
It truly makes our day. I was about to say, even if you send us a message through social media, like through Instagram, through Twitter, or our email, it truly makes our day.
During recording, we had someone message us, and we had to stop and be happy about it.
We did. And I just want, and I don't know, it's just very
we
nice.
We love you. I'm thank you
all
for
of you that listen.
So truly. Awesome. I just love that we get to share Desperate Housewives with each other and also with all of you. It just makes me feel really happy. Like, it's been such, like, joy to do this for the last little bit.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to keep doing it. I love this show, and I love you. And I love you, listener, who's listening to me. I'm in your ear. And, baby, I want to take things to the next level.
Hey, listener. Hey, this is my turn.
Oh, okay.
Hey, listener. I want you to buy Coke-branded products. I'm subliminal messaging you right now.
Oh, is this back to Josie and the Pussycats?
This is back to Josie and the Pussycats. It was bad. It didn't make sense.
What a callback to the beginning of this episode.
I promise I'll do a better bit next time.
Thank you.
For you, listener, because I love you. Will you marry me?
That's my subliminal messaging, is asking all of you to marry me.
Yes. I think there's just a couple more things to say.
What are they, Liz?
Let me check.
Check the agenda I put together for this episode.
Yeah, let me just...
Okay. Gotta get that Foley working.
Okay. Okay. So I think the first thing on the agenda is Mackenzie.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you so much, Liz. I love you too. I love you so much. To touch you.
I love you.
I love you.
And to everyone else out there, stay juicy.
Stay juicy.